So sometimes when we become involved in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, sometimes we become a little bit complacent, and Krishna sends us nice arrangements to make us more serious, to turn our face. So all of these things like illness and difficulties, and even being in the body, they're just new opportunities to turn our face. Miracle done with divine grace. So they're not lamentable, and that one thing I'm trying to get to, the point I'm trying to get to, is that we shouldn't lament. You know, I have absolutely no lamentation about my condition. I haven't a single regret about my condition. And I see it as a complete blessing of Srila Prabhupada, because it's a chance for me to turn my face. And that's all. Nothing else. So, therefore, what I'd like to say is that the prayers of devotees could be directly towards that and nothing else. And that giving strength to call my face. Miracle done with divine grace. That's all it is. That all that life is, it's just opportunities to remember Krishna and to forget him. Nothing else. There is no more significance than that. It's either an opportunity to remember or an opportunity to forget him. And therefore, a devotee never laments, because it's a new opportunity to remember Krishna. Absolutely. And it may be a big one. Some of them are little and some of them are big. That's all. And, you know, in many ways, the prayers that I would request from the Vaishnava is just that if I do go through a difficult test that devotees would pray, then I think I should remember the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And that's all. The lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna lotus feet of Prabhupada. And as far as the physical body goes, I have had extreme fortune. It's an incomprehensible fortune. Because I met Srila Prabhupada when I was 17. Young kid out of school, and Prabhupada was just like, when I saw him, I'll tell you a story quickly, because it's, if you see the power of Prabhupada, I met the devotees in 69 in Piccadilly, and I was actually on my way to Piccadilly to actually look for a bit of dope as a young kid, and trying to experiment with cannabis. Luckily, actually, I didn't get any. And I bumped into the Hare Nam party, and they were chanting, and they invited me to come with all to see Srila Prabhupada. And I remember every detail for this day. And when I saw the Hare Nam party, I thought these people have dropped from heaven. And they looked so aesthetic. Anyway, being a stupid kid, I dropped a leaflet that they gave me to Prabhupada's lectures, and I actually didn't know where these people lived or anything, so I was totally cut off. One end I was connected, the other end I was cut off. And I lived way over the other side of London in Piccadilly. And I was always thinking, where do these people live? And I couldn't find them, I couldn't even hear them. That was 69, they'd only been in the country a few months, and nobody really knew. Everyone had seen them somewhere. Not everyone, some people, but no one knew where they were, and there was no way to get in touch. And in those days, there wasn't even any really hurry now. You couldn't meet, bump into them. And like 2 weeks later, my flatmate walked in the room, a And through me, the Bhagavad Gita was basically Bhaktivedanta Swami. Now, there probably would have been about 100 Gitas in the whole of the UK. Most of them probably would have been around the temple area. This was a complete other side of London. And I was in a little flat. And as soon as I read that Bhagavad Gita, on it there was a contact. So I was able to contact the devotees. I went to the temple. And I joined up within about 2 hours of shooting up there in 3 hours. And when I saw Srila Prabhupada, immediately I knew that this personality I had known without, there was no question of a doubt. And the relationship with Srila Prabhupada was like a loving father. And I had the great fortune of having a lot of intimate association in those days with Prabhupada, because in the very early days, and I can tell many stories, but anyway, there was always a very loving exchange with Prabhupada. As many of you may know, later on, about 82, 83, I had some difficulties. And this is true as I'm sitting here. Prabhupada came to me in a dream and said, go back to the temple. Because if you don't, then it is very difficult for me to protect you. And that's when I went back to the temple. And somehow or other, even with my extremely demonic mentality, I managed to stay in the shelter of devotees. And so I have absolutely no regrets. If my condition has come to the point where the body is worn out or diseased. So I just want to say I don't want devotees to lament in any way. Because lament, yes, that I don't have any love for Krishna. And I don't have any love for Prabhupada. And I don't have any love in my heart. But that is something that is now maybe Krishna's test. The real test. I turn my face to love him. And therefore I consider a warning like this, even if it is the final warning, to be a great boon, a great blessing. And totally no need to lament. For Krishna to tell you that you have a few months to go is great. It couldn't be a greater blessing. You can say the time is not right, you should be able to go. And maybe Krishna will keep me around. Honestly, at this point, it doesn't matter in my heart. If he does, it doesn't. What matters is whether I can take the test. And that will be a good test. And I will need all the prayers that I can go to Vrindavan and take shelter of the dust of Srila Prabhupada and the Goswamis and Radharani. And if I can do that, then even if anything happens, there will be nothing inauspicious. So, I just wanted to say to the devotees, I know it sounds very easy in one sense, but honestly, I can tell you, since the moment I was told by the doctor, I mean, the doctor was very frank with me. I should explain maybe to everyone anyway, some speculation of what happened. I actually went to see Johnny's family, Rajan and Kathy, who are very dear friends. And as I'm sitting here now, I have absolutely no pain, and I haven't had it throughout the whole thing, which is a very strange phenomenon. But I did say to them, I said I have this stomach problem. It's funny. Because it feels wrong. So they said, look, right now you come to the doctors. And I haven't been to the doctors in 30 years. Except for malaria. And it was the way he said it. He said, right now you're coming to the doctor. So he took me to the doctor, and the doctor did a number of tests. He told me to go and have one ultra scan. And as soon as they did the ultra scan, I could see on the screen that this doctor who was doing it wasn't happy then. He found, I could see it was a tumor. And basically what happened was that he did more tests and then sent me back to the original doctor, who then sent me to another doctor from more tests, more tests, more tests. The basic thing was they found what they call aggressive cancer of the stomach. Advanced means when it's advanced. I had cancer for over a year, according to the doctor. And the trouble with cancer is if it's localized, you can deal with it. If it spreads, then it's basically chemotherapy or a miracle, as I say. So, when I talked to the specialist today, he said it's chemotherapy or nothing. Living is a miracle. So basically that's the story, I think, from a Western angle, it would be as chemotherapy. And the thing is that because it's in the stomach, it can grow and grow and grow, and the rest, the more it grows, the less stomach you got. So that's a problem. That's the real problem. On the other side, the actual condition is that, you know, my real belief is that, my belief is that whatever Krishna wants, you know, I don't have any kind of, at this point, I've come to the conclusion that it's no worse than chemotherapy. That's in my heart. And I'd rather look for someone else. So, it's basically it, really. But as I say, it's not the I really don't want to lament over it or worry about it. And I really beg the devotees not to worry about it. Probably. That's not something. Because, you see, everything's in Krishna's hands, so therefore, lamenting is actually, it's not a, I know it's a very nice sentiment, but it's not really very constructive. So, I think the best thing is just to, I would request the words, pray the Prabhupada and Radharani and Krishna that I can develop some love in whatever time I have left around. And it may turn out to be years or seconds, that's entirely Krishna's grace. So I personally wouldn't, and I honestly can tell you, since I've known about this condition, I honestly haven't worried about it. And I don't know why. Maybe I should worry about it, but it honestly doesn't worry me. And I've had a few devotees that tell you around me, I just find the whole thing quite, you know, because it's like sometimes I said, when things get so bad, you have to laugh. So, you know, because 8 months ago, I had a fractured skull, cerebral malaria, and I lost my taste and my smell. And I haven't had it back since. So I wrote to Vince and I said, well, I lost my taste, I lost my smell, and I've lost my stomach. So I was always thinking of taking sannyas. So maybe this is the way you take sannyas. So I think we'll carry on with the buttons, but I just wanted to say that I thank everyone for the prayers, and I really honestly would request the devotees to, you know, whatever the outcome, which we don't know. I may live out in the whole lobby. But what I would say is that, I, it is a diagnosis, and it's a... What's the word, prognosis? Huh? What's prognosis? Anyway, it's a diagnosis. And it's just a diagnosis with solid proof, because they've taken biopsies and all the rest of it. So it's not, maybe, maybe not, it's just that what is the actual conclusion that I'll bring is totally in Krishna's hands. And it's a known fact that anything can happen in life, and that's exactly how I think we should do it. And I really don't want everybody to be upset, because in all honesty, I'm not upset about it. I don't feel at all, I don't feel at all, what do you call it? Negative about it. And I'm not just putting it on, I'm just speaking factual. So I like the bodies not to be negative, and just carry on as if, you know, nothing happened, really. At least, well, it hasn't happened yet, because I'm still, I'll be ready to go on right now, right now. So, let's see. Only time. So let me do a little pardon. We don't have a song sheet, do we? Which one I want to do? Do we have a song book? No?
Jaya Gopala. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
and he stood in his room in Japa. One time I was, I remember a different occasion, one time I was sitting in his room, and I was looking at Prabhupada, and he was writing, and I don't know what all the candles, but I interrupted his writing, and I said, "Sir Prabhupada, what you have done is mind-boggling to me. You have done such a wonderful thing by spreading this Krishna conscious movement." I said that in there, "Sri Prabhupada, I'm always in awe of the fact that you managed to do so much and still you produce these beautiful books." And I pointed to Prabhupada's books, which were in a cabinet next to where he was sitting, on his own shelves. And I said, "These books, Sri Prabhupada, are incredible. The papers are incredible." So, I was actually expecting to get chastised by Prabhupada from the writings. He was writing, but I suddenly had a burst of enthusiasm to glorify him. And Prabhupada was so wonderful that he looked at me. He was looking at me while I was talking. And he looked at me and he said, whatever you are seeing, he said it twice, he said, "It is my Guru Maharaj. He has done everything." And then the most humble voice that seemed to come from the bottom of his heart, he said, "I have done that." And it wasn't, you can understand how humble actually Prabhupada was when he said that. He said, "Whatever you are seeing, it is my Guru Maharaj. He has done everything." And I think at that time I understood the meaning of the spiritual master, that he's one who has complete, if you like, gratefulness to his guru. And I think that was one of the beauties of Prabhupada, that he had complete, absolute gratefulness to his spiritual master. He said one time, we were glorifying Prabhupada also, and Prabhupada said, he said, "My only qualification is I never deviated 1 inch from my Guru Maharaj." And he said, "I will stand by that." He said, "I will stand by that." And I think that's the beauty of Prabhupada's humility. Another day I was sitting in a room doing my japa, because I used to like doing my japa with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada never ever once did I go in his room and said, "Don't come in." Never. Prabhupada and I was nobody. I mean, I wasn't a big shot. I wasn't anyone. And Prabhupada, if he started talking, he would immediately listen and reciprocate. He'd drop everything, whatever he was doing, you know. And so one time I went up to see Srila Prabhupada in that 73 with Madhavananda. We decided to go and see Prabhupada in Mayapur. Now Mayapur festival was on. And naturally a lot of people wanted to come see Prabhupada. So Sats Guru Maharaj, he had the job, the thankless task of keeping people away from Prabhupada. So we decided we were going to talk to Prabhupada. And as we came to the window, somehow we saw Prabhupada sitting there. And he was alone. But the next minute we saw Sats Guru Maharaj coming out of the room. And we knew we were in for it. And we looked at his face. So as we got closer, Sats Guru Maharaj stopped us and said, "You cannot come here. Prabhupada is busy." And behind Sats Guru Maharaj was Srila Prabhupada, standing right behind him. And we were shocked, because this all happened pretty quick. I don't know if Prabhupada mystically appeared, but he appeared right behind Sats Guru Maharaj. And as soon as Sats Guru Maharaj fell, Prabhupada turned around. And Prabhupada said, "You rascal. And I was actually shocked. I said, "How dare you stop my disciples coming to see you? How dare you?" And then Prabhupada called us in the room and spoke for about half an hour about Bhakti Ramananda. And it was like he was chastising me, but at the same time it was out of love. For his disciples. Prabhupada had immense love. Love that we can't, or at least I can't understand how much love Srila Prabhupada had And there are many stories about that love. But one time I was going to Sabal, which I thought was a beautiful story to tell, because actually they arrived in America in one airport. I don't know which one it was, I can't remember. But he said that actually, and I've noticed this too, whenever Prabhupada would come to see his disciples, he would go into a kind of ecstasy. It was actually an ecstasy of love. And Shabbat was telling me, he was sitting with Prabhupada, and the plane hadn't even properly stopped. It had just stopped. And he said, Prabhupada was so excited that he went out the wrong door. He sort of just went out. And the devotees were all waiting at the bottom of the stairs, that side. And Prabhupada went out that side. And then Prabhupada came around behind the devotees. But Shabbat was upset that Prabhupada was in such ecstasy that he hadn't even thought about which way he was, just wanted to go see the devotees. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Sita Rama Swami ki jai, Shri Sri Gauri ki jai.